And so I feel like when it comes to softball, I am very serious. Like I do get, like I get very, very competitive and I want to win all the time. But at the same time, it was like this last year, especially, it was like I'm a freshman. Like these are things that I've never had to experience before. So it was like, how could I expect myself to be 1000% prepared when I've never done it before? Like allowing myself to fail, because there are times where you're going to try something new and you've never done it before. And it's like, you can't expect yourself to be perfect at it, which is something I struggle with because sometimes I don't like doing things that I don't know I'm going to be 100% good at because I don't like to fail.
Hey, I'm Ashley Agle. Some of you might know me as Ashley Burkhart, and I'm a former D1 and professional softball player who spent a few years coaching in the college game before deciding to put all of my focus into youth softball players and helping them make their dreams and their goals happen for them. It's our job to help them unleash their potential and become the athletes they've always dreamt of. I come from a small city in the Midwest and didn't let that stop me from making my goal of playing D1 softball a reality. No matter where you live, you have the tools to help you thrive, and I am hoping through this podcast to help you get there. On this podcast, you'll learn from Olympians, Hall of Fame coaches, and elite players what their journeys have been like, and you'll also learn from me and my family a bit of our journey through the game. I'm so excited to have you here, so whip out your notebook and let's learn how we can grow in this game together. Welcome to When the Cleats Come Off. Hello, hello. Welcome back to When the Cleats Come Off. This is a super exciting episode. I'm not going to lie. When I bring in people to talk to my Virtual Hitting Academy members, I don't have the intention to make them podcast episodes. But sometimes they are just so fire that I feel like I'd be doing this podcast a disservice by not sharing some of these conversations. And you have only heard a fraction of them. But if you've heard the name Taylor Shoemaker, which you likely have if you follow college softball, she came and spoke to my athletes last month. And the things that she talked about were so good that I will be listening to this on repeat as a hitting coach because she goes into so many amazing things. Now, if you don't know who Taylor is, I'm going to give you some stats, okay? She had the most dominant freshman season that I think I've ever seen from a freshman in college and in the SEC. And you guys know this if you followed her, but here are some of her stats. It's insane. In 2025, she was the NFCA First Team All-American and Freshman of the Year. She was the 2025 All-SEC First Team recipient and also was a four-time SEC Freshman of the Week. Insane. Other stats. National rankings. She was tied for second with RBIs with 86, had 72 runs her freshman season, which was fifth in the national rankings. She ranked seventh in total bases with 164 and 11th in the nation for home runs with 22. Other notables for Florida is that she batted 389. So she was 79 for 203, had 72 runs, 22 home runs, 17 doubles, a triple, 41 walks as a freshman. I think I had two my freshman year. 3 hit by pitches and 4 sacrifice flies. She led the team in home runs, RBIs, runs, doubles, slugging percentage, and total bases. And you guys know I love these stats. She swiped 18 bases in 19 attempts, which was second most on the team. She is an overall all-around stud. She also was one of the very few who played every single game, and she played right field. I'll have to get her and my middle sister, Christina, in touch because she was also an outfielder and played a lot of right field at UNC. But just overall dominance, and I'm so excited to give you this episode. She's going to talk about some really amazing stuff about her freshman year, the good, the bad, the ugly. She talks about how she was able to play so free her freshman season, why the mentality of proving people wrong isn't always a bad thing, why she considers herself a dumb hitter and how that's made her so elite, what Florida emphasizes throughout the year in their training for hitting, and also how she's going about this sophomore season to make sure her head's on straight and she continues her dominance at the plate. This is a fraction of the stuff you're going to hear in this episode. It is so good, and I guarantee you, you're going to want to favorite like this episode and share it with a friend because I loved learning these things about Taylor. Backstory, I actually met Taylor coaching the Alliance All-Star Game in Kokomo, Indiana this year. And when I found out she was going to be one of my quote unquote assistant coaches for this game, I was so excited to kind of pick her brain. And I think what's pretty cool about her is when I watch her compete, she is so stoic that I had no idea she was this free, fun-loving, hilarious human until I met her in person. So I'm so excited that you guys get to hear a little bit of this conversation with my Virtual Hitting Academy members. Again, if you are interested in VHA, you can head to my website, ashleybtraining.com, to just see what it's all about. But I'm just so excited for you guys to meet Taylor. So let's dive into this episode.
So pumped to have Taylor here. She is obviously just starting school, has homework. We're going to be very cognizant of her time. But what I would love to do is have you guys get to know her. I'm going to lead her with some questions. And then at the last 10 minutes, like, you guys are going to hammer her with questions. But I kind of gave them a breakdown before you logged on your freshman season at Florida. But take us through that freshman season at Florida, because you obviously won NFCA Freshman of the Year because you hit bombs like it was your day job. But take us through that freshman year for you.
Yeah, I mean, I did know that from the beginning that not many people knew who I was. It's always been like that my whole life. I've never really gotten a lot of attention of what I've done. And for me, that's not really as important it wasn't as important to me as it was to a lot of people. I remember going on one of my visits my junior year, and everybody was freaking out about the top 100 and what number were they going to be and what this, what that. And I always knew that nobody really knew who I was, and I kind of liked it that way. It was like, proving people wrong is my absolute favorite thing to do. So I knew that this last year, I didn't want to put any pressure on myself. I didn't want to put any like bounds on what I wanted to do or goals of what I wanted to accomplish. I just kind of wanted to let myself play really free. And I think with the hitters that I had around me, it really allowed me to play free. I wasn't afraid of, oh, are they going to pitch to me? What are they going to pitch me here? What are they going to pitch me there? Because I knew that I had other hitters around me that were going to do their job regardless of what I did. So during the middle of the season, there was a little rough patch that I had for like around probably like 2 weeks. Was just like my swing didn't feel right. I just didn't feel that like how I had. I'd felt really confident all the other weeks. And then we got to the point of where we were playing like Ole Miss, a little bit into Alabama. And I just literally felt like no matter what I did, I just could not make good contact with the ball. And I was freaking out. I literally thought like my season was over. I was done. Like, I was like, great, beginner's luck has worn off. This is terrible. But honestly, at the end of the day, my coaches, I just had to really rely on my coaches and my teammates and just allow them to kind of guide me through the failures and not only just appreciate the success. But I mean, it was just such a great experience. Just getting to do all of it is so amazing. And that's why I keep on preaching to like my little sister and all the little girls that I helped this summer, is just like, work hard now and appreciate the work that you put in later. Like, I look back and I appreciate everything that I did throughout travel ball, everything I did in high school, because it's allowed me to be where I am now. And not only do I now have a process that I can trust in order to kind of reset myself when things go wrong, but I also just, I have learned to just trust my preparation. And if I am prepared, then I know at the end of the day that nothing anybody else does can take that away from me. Nobody can take away my work ethic or how hard I work or how many swings I took in the cage. All they have to do is go up against me, and they're going to give me their best and I'm going to give them mine. And I really just think it was overall just a good season of me kind of learning myself as a player and just also getting to just appreciate college softball, which I've worked so hard to be at.
I love that. Sorry, you're probably going to hear my kid over there. I'm going to go grab him after I ask this next question. But do you mind sharing a little bit of that routine with us of like when things aren't going well, what are we going to do? I know you said like trust your process, but like I think it'd be kind of cool to get to know what is your routine up to bat, maybe like when things are going well or when they aren't, because it's a hitting academy. We're all here to like learn how to become dominant hitters mentally, and physically. And I feel like that mental piece is something that you had to figure out pretty quickly midseason. Even though you already had a strong work ethic and mentality, even the best sometimes have these little slumps here. So I would love to hear the breakdown of like how you address that with yourself.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like it really just starts
kind of with the buildup, like practice and stuff like that, I always go into the cage and take intentional swings. So there are people that can go into the cage and swing for 45 minutes and still feel like it hasn't been enough. And then there are players that go into the cage, take 15 minutes of intentional swings and feel like their day has, like, they feel good. Their swing feels great. They feel like they've accomplished everything that they need to. And I kind of learned that that's more of who I am, like taking 10 to 15 minutes of good intentional swings, especially when I'm going to hit by myself, like not beating myself up over literally nothing. I learned this season that I cannot watch myself swing by myself or else I will literally tear my swing apart. And I'll be like I could have hit a ball like into the street, like for a home run and still been like, oh, well, that was an outside pitch and I pulled it and that ball shouldn't go that way. It should go this way. And I think that's just who I am. I'm a perfectionist and I feel like me knowing that there's always something I can fix is kind of what pushes me to want to be the best. But I think going up to the box, I had a talk with Coach Thomas like during that rough patch, and just not only do you have to have confidence in yourself, but also understand that like I had to tell myself all the time, like there is nothing this pitcher is going to throw me that I've never seen before. She's not going to whip out some magical pitch that I've never seen. We literally have video on every pitch she could possibly throw. Like, I just had to understand that because I worked so hard that I was prepared for every moment that I went into. And all it was about was doing whatever my teammates needed me to do. So I wasn't going up there being like, please hit a home run. I'm so close to breaking this record, or please do this because I want to win this. Like, it was always, okay, runner at second base, I need to hit a double. I need to hit a single. This runner needs to score. Okay, runners at first and second, I need to move the runners into scoring position, or I need to score a run. Like, it was always finding the ways to do what my team needed me to do. And I think by me not putting so much pressure on personal goals, that it allowed me not even to like know that they were in existence. I had no clue right before I broke the freshman home run record that it was even coming until Coach Walton said something to me. I didn't even want to know the number, because in high school I had the same thing and they told me the number, and then that was like all I could think about. And it was like, it made it no fun that way. But I think going up to the box, I really just had to understand that like I was prepared. Like, at the end of the day, that's always what I go back to, is my preparation and like who I am as a hitter. I think like stuff like we do a lot of stuff with just external focuses, like understanding like, okay, if this pitch comes in here, I need to make sure the ball stays that way. Okay. Understanding like situational hitting, where the ball needs to go, where the runners are at, what the pitcher's trying to throw you, like what outcome she's trying to get. But I think at the end of the day, like we can think about all of that and that could really overwhelm us. I'm a very dumb hitter. Like, I don't like thinking of tons of crazy stuff and, oh, well, this adjustment, like you are who you are when you step into the box. And at the end of the day, all it's about is trying to get your job done. So I just like to be very, very simple when I go into the box and just make sure that I have maybe like three focal points of my swing, my legs, my feet, and my hands. And it's like, as long as those three are doing what they need to do, at that point, a win is a win. Getting a hit is getting a hit. So
that was such an insanely good breakdown. And I just wanted to share with the group, like, if you are similar to us, I never wanted to know my numbers either. I remember I had like a 16 game hitting streak going on in college, and our, like, bless her heart, she was the one who like did all of our stats for us. She came up to me. She's like, Ashley, you have a 16 game hitting streak going on. The entire next game, that's all I could think about. And so I wish that I would have had a conversation like mid sentence with her and be like, don't tell me anything. Like, I don't want to know anything. And I think a lot of us, like our parents tell us our stats or things, and that we start to get overwhelmed here. So like, take that with a grain of salt and like, understand when people try to tell you things and stats, if you don't want them, you can stand up for yourself and say, I don't want them. I think that's important for you guys to know. The other thing, breaking down dumb hitter, like, I think there's two types of hitters. There's the hitter who wants to know basically nothing and just trust their stuff. And then there's someone who can be elite as well and want to know every single data point, and that works for them. I was similar to the dumb hitter. I was like, I'm going to react to pitches. I'm going to trust what I've worked on. And yes, I'm a perfectionist as well. There's going to be things that expose me and I'm going to do something about it. But like, try to figure out like, which one are you? Because if you know who you are, like, you'll be able to approach your at-bats a little bit differently and your practices a little bit differently. So yeah, experiment with that, you guys. Okay, Taylor, this is so good. Can we go into like what training sessions look like? There's a lot of girls here that want to play in college and, you know, want to know what a day in the life of a hitter at Florida is like. Can you kind of give us, you know, examples of what you're doing in the cages? Maybe it changes throughout season, but I'm curious to know what y'all are up to. And if it's a secret, you don't have to tell us everything.
Yeah, I mean, in the fall, obviously, it's different than it is in the spring. In the fall, we do a lot of like smaller groups. And then in the spring, it's usually like a little bit bigger of groups, like trying to get people to work in together. But I mean, personally, for me, it's usually just starts with, usually you just do, we have like a warm up that we do with like different hitting stretches just to make sure that our bodies are able to move in the ways that we need them to. So like stuff like, just like a lot of rotation stuff, because hitting does have a lot to do with rotation. We do a lot of explosive stuff. Like a lot of the girls like to swing with a lacrosse stick because they feel like it gets their hands moving quickly. So just stuff like that kind of to start us off, just make sure that our bodies are ready for what we need them to do. And then usually girls will go into like, if you like hitting off the tee, you'll hit off the tee. If you like hitting side toss, you'll hit side toss. If you do like doing bottom hands, top hands, stuff like that. So usually that's kind of stuff that we've compiled before we came into school, or even the transfers will even bring in some things that they've done at the school before. So I like to do stuff like that kind of to get my body understanding, because I'm very much a feel hitter. I like to feel what my body does. And so there are certain drills like bottom hands and stuff like that that allow me to feel what my body needs to do in order to replicate it. So once I get through stuff like that, then usually we go just like your everyday basic stuff. We do a lot of pitching machines, and our machines are very high tech, so we can get them to do different things like throw us drop balls, throw us rise balls, throw it here, throw it there. So stuff like that. And we can do different velocities and stuff. But we usually don't do stuff like that in the fall. It's usually very like to the point, like very like dumbed down drills just to make sure that we're getting back into the swing of things. But yeah, front toss, machines. Personally, I love hitting on the field. I love seeing the like ball flight and stuff like that. So like every chance I can get, I'm trying to hit live on the field. But last year we did a lot of like scrimmages and like live at bats and stuff like that. So I think that's also helpful, just getting to see the ball, because you can hit off the machine as much as you want, but a machine's never truly going to replicate like a ball coming out of a pitcher's hand. So I know that stuff like that's just really, really helpful. And we do a lot of like competitions in the cage, and it's not as much like me against my teammate, but it's like me against myself. So like we have these little competitions that we do where it's like, oh, well, you get this many points if you beat your hard hit average, or you get this many points if you beat your highest exit velo, or negative points if you get lower than your average exit velo, like stuff like that, just allowing ourselves to constantly seek like getting better, like always wanting to do something better or improve a swing, or just we get to do fun stuff like that just so that way it kind of keeps hitting interesting. So it's not like doing the same thing over and over again. Cause in the fall, sometimes stuff does get very repetitive, and sometimes it gets hard to be like, okay, another day of wake up, go to weights, go to breakfast, go to class, go to the field, hit. Defense, go home, eat dinner, go to sleep, do it again. So they just do a really good job of trying to incorporate just like new things, so that way you don't get tired of doing the same thing over and over and over again.
Yeah, that's really good, especially when you're doing it every single day. Are there certain, so I know you were talking about like trying to beat numbers. How would you say like Florida implements mental game into practices? Because we used to have like this cage that was always, well, when I was working in Notre Dame, Lizzie called it the impossible cage. And like they had this rise ball machine making a ball spin like 2 feet. And like barely any pitchers can do that. But like they worked on doing it all year. And like the beginning, everybody was looking at it like stupid. And then by spring, some people were like touching it and getting excited. Do you guys have some like super challenging things that you guys are doing that, you know, aggravate you enough to bring out the perfectionist mentality of like, let's figure it out?
I know personally for me, I hate hitting off of pitching machines. They're like my worst nightmare. They're my worst fear. They bring them out. I'm like, okay, you want me to just want to sit on the floor and cry today. So even like yesterday or the other day at practice, they brought out the machine hitting on the field. And I looked at Coach Thomas and I was like, this is the first time I've hit off of a pitching machine in like 3 months. Why are you doing this to me? And he was like, It wasn't even throwing anything crazy. It was literally just throwing the ball down the middle. But we have a bunch of machines that do like some crazy stuff. Like when they bring us into the cage and we're hitting off a drop ball pitcher and they're trying to get our machine to throw drop balls, they're not even like regular drop balls. They're like pitches that are starting up here and like ending down here in like 2 seconds. And you're like, how did that even do that right now? Like no pitcher throws like that. But I think they do it to where it's just a little bit harder when you try it, like in the cage, and then you get out on the field and you're like, oh, that wasn't so bad. Like that wasn't anything near what I just did. So it's like, it kind of builds confidence a little bit once you get a hang of like the machine that's just throwing crazy. And then you go out and it's like much, much easier to hit on the field. But I know for me that like, I literally will not step out of that cage until I get one good one. Like I am ending on a good one no matter what. But then also at the same time, like Coach Thomas is usually there to watch and he's like, get out of the cage. You're literally going to swing yourself to death. Like at a certain point, like you get to a point where it's like, okay, this is not making me any better sitting in here beating myself over not being able to hit this pitching machine. So like, I think they do a good job of incorporating kind of the mental game, like understanding like I'm going to beat myself. But at the same time, it's like, there's a certain point to where you're like, you're kind of overwhelming yourself instead of making yourself better. So yeah, I just feel like that's kind of what we do to make the mental game kind of in there, like understanding like your limits when you might be like pushing yourself too hard to where you're now doubting yourself more than you are making yourself better. But yeah, me and pitching machines don't get along very well, but we're learning.
Yeah, I love that. I love that just because like we all have our fears, you know, when we get to the cage, it's like, oh gosh, this thing's in front of us. And then our coaches do a great job of like making us our fears like every day. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is my last question, then I'm going to open it up to the girls. So you guys start thinking of questions. If you don't want to ask it in person, you can write it in the chat. But did you see where everybody's from? Have you looked at the chat?
I saw them popping up, but I did not.
Alyssa, the one wearing the gator stuff, is from California, and I know you're from. So that's going to probably hit home. Malia's from Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
Got Indiana, Kansas.
There you go. Washington. Lots of places.
I know. We're all over the place. But this is what I love about this. Is like, we're all over the place, but we still have like similar goals. So yeah. I love this about us. But before I open up to the girls, how are you approaching this season, you know, coming off of some insane numbers, some insane record-breaking, you know, things that have happened freshman year to keep you level-headed and still out there ready to produce sophomore year?
I've thought about this a lot because it is easy to want to look back at the year before and compare yourself. And I know that that's kind of the thing that beats a lot of people up. Like last year, everybody was talking about like, oh, the sophomore slump, sophomore scaries, like stuff like that. And I just feel like my mindset last year kind of helped me, is going to help me going into this year, because like I never let myself get too high or too low. Like I never let myself look and be like, oh my gosh, I won freshman of the week. Now I have to be freshman of the week this week. Like, no, it was always like, okay, great, I won, but like, we're not in that week anymore. We're in this week. Like I have to perform now this week. Like I could be the best player last week, but the worst player this week. So it was like, I was constantly wanting to put the work in to be the best player every week. So it was like fresh, clean slate every week. And obviously it's going to be hard to just completely try to forget about what I did this last year and try to start fresh. But I do think that's what I'm going to try to do and make sure that my coaches are also helping me do that. Like not allow myself to be like, oh, last year I would have done this, or oh, this like kind of take good things from last year and allow it to fuel my confidence, but not rely on that in order to understand that like no matter this year or last year, I'm still the same hitter I was, still the same outfielder I was, but now it's just a matter of doing things to make me just that much better so I can continue on that streak this year.
I love that approach. And I love that it's everything's a clean slate. That's definitely hard to accomplish, but I think your mentality, you've been training like this your whole life. Like you've gotten to Florida with this mentality of like, I'm here to be my best self. And I think when we start comparing to other people, that's when we get kind of stuck. So I think this is going to be a fun year to watch you for sure. I'm going to open it up to the girls. I think Alyssa has had this question for weeks already. So I'm going to let her. I don't want to. Do you want to go first, Alyssa, or no?
Here, I'll go first. Out of all spots, how did you pick Florida?
All right. So I always tell the story because I feel like recruiting is like such like a, like no two people can tell the same recruiting story. So it was like, if you would have asked me in middle school, I would have told you I was going to one school. Like it was my dream school. I never really had a dream school, but I would have told you, oh, this one's my favorite right now. Then if you would have asked me right before September 1st of my junior year, I would have been like, oh, I'm going to this school. And then Florida was never on my radar, like when it came to recruiting. Like I never, it was always schools around where I lived. So like I was big Oregon Duck fan growing up. Like I loved Mike White. Like I loved watching Oregon softball. And then I just kind of like, just stuff like that. Like you kind of get involved in the softball world and then, well, now you're watching Oregon, but then look, you're also watching the team that they're playing and then you fall in love with the team that they're playing. And then it's like, you just get so involved in the softball world. So when I got my calls on September 1st and Coach Walton was like, we want you to come out on a visit. I was already going to a Florida camp that September before I had gotten the call on September 1st. So I took an unofficial visit my junior year. And he kind of took me around and he took us to a couple of restaurants and like showed us around. And for me, it's always been about competition. Like I am a crazy competitor. Like no matter what I'm doing, I want to win. We had lake day yesterday and we got to be out on the boat. And we got to go tubing and we got to go kayaking and like we did a relay race. I was winning that relay race. I was not losing. Like even if my team lost, like my section of the relay race, I was not going to be last. I was going to be first. Like the tube, I wanted to be the last person on that tube. So like when I came to Florida and I knew Coach Walton, I knew how he coached. He coached very similar to Coach Mike Stith, who's who I played for. I just feel like when I came on campus, it was very much like the life that I had already been living. I made sure that my high school schedule was pretty aggressive when I was taking it, that I was going to weights every night. I was doing my hitting every day, like making sure that my schedule seemed very similar to what I was going to do in college. And I feel like once I stepped on campus, it was just like aside from the humidity, Florida was pretty much like home away from home. Like Coach Walton coached very similar to Coach Mike. I knew we were going to be a good program and we were going to be competitive. I was going to get a good education. The campus was beautiful and there's so many things to do. And people in the South are so nice. Like everywhere you go, they're so nice. But yeah, I just feel like every aspect that I went around, like I love the football game. I love that the girls were able to have fun with each other, but also take it serious when we needed to. There was just so many aspects that went into it. And I feel like every single place that I went, I was like, I like that. I like that. Oh, you do that? I like that. The coaches are always open to feedback and talking about stuff. And I like the fact that like I could go up to Coach Walton and be like, here's what's wrong with my swing. I need help fixing it. And he could be like, okay. And then in the same sentence, I could be like, and how's your family? And he could tell me about it. Like there's a level of like seriousness, but then also like personal connection that we have that I just think is really, really special. And it's really cool. And I love going to Florida. So.
That's so great. One of my pro teammates was Lauren Hager, and she said, like, mm-hmm. She's like, I felt like I was treated as a human first, mm-hmm. like a person, and then athlete second.
He's just a dad.
Yeah, like he's just like a dad. But I loved knowing that that's still a thing. It looked like Presley. Did you want to go next to the question? Presley's going to play in college next fall. So she's
very cool. Really awesome.
Fun questions for you.
How did you deal with the pressure of like wanting to start as a freshman and like not letting that stress you out too much?
I mean, obviously everybody wants to start. Everybody wants to play. But at the same time, like I said, like just trusting in your preparation, like you could get there and there could be somebody that plays better than you. And like at the end of the day, that shouldn't be something that tears you down. It should be something that makes you want to make yourself better. So even if like nobody's promised anything going into college, like you have to be the best to be the 9 out on the field. So like when you get there, like all you really have to do is play your game and trust yourself. And even if that doesn't mean that you're in the starting 9 on day 1, does not mean that you're not going to end up in the starting 9 on day 40, on day 35. Like it doesn't matter how you start, it matters how you end. And even in travel ball, like when I first started playing for Coach Mike, I was not the starting 9, but the fact that there were girls playing over me kind of fueled me to want to be better. Like, it kind of became like healthy competition. Like, okay, you're pushing me to want to be better because I want to play. Like, I don't want to be picked over. I want to play. So just knowing that, like, as long as you put in the time that you need to, it doesn't always kind of rely on having to be perfect. No coach is expecting you to be perfect, but they're expecting to see signs that you know what you're doing, that you can trust yourself in situations, that you're not going to get overwhelmed. Just simple things like that. Because college softball really is, I always tell people, it's like a championship game day every day. So it's like the pressure is never going to go away. So at the end of the day, you just have to trust that whatever you're going to do is whatever you're going to do. And as long as you trust the process and trust that your teammates and your coaches have your back, that you'll be the best version of yourself.
Did you find a lot of that mentality, especially in postseason this year?
Yeah. Postseason's hard. And I feel like nobody really understands that. They're like, oh, it's just another game, but it's not just another game. Like, I've grown up my whole life watching the Women's College World Series. Like, I want to be there. Like, I want to be one of the 8 teams that are there. And it's like, once you get into postseason, it's like cutthroat. You got to win or else you're done. And it's like a lot of pressure. But I did really just have to like lean into my teammates. Like, everybody says, oh, you got to trust your, no, you really have to trust your teammates or else there's like nobody else. Cause when you have fans yelling at you in the stands, the World Series, when you have like hundreds and thousands of people behind you, like, the only voices that you should hear are your teammates, your coaches, and your family. Like, those are the only people that matter. Like, at the end of the day, there's always going to be somebody that's going to be there being a hater. And it's like, what are you saying to me that I, like, you're not going to say anything to me that's going to bother me because you don't know what I do. Like, you don't know what I've put into this. You don't know how hard I've worked to get here. Like, you're just looking at me on the field. I made an error and you're like, you're terrible at softball. Well, I'm not terrible at softball. I just was not the best at it in that very moment. But I think postseason, it just puts a lot of pressure just on like the sport in general. Like, everybody's so high tense on like what's going to happen. But like at the end of the day, like, there is a lot of pressure, but you can't really control that. You can control what you do and how you handle it. And I think you really just have to focus on what you do, how you handle it, and how you prepare for it. Because at the end of the day, all the other stuff doesn't matter because you can't control it.
So good. Who else wants to ask a quick question before we got to hop off? Malia's got you. What was the hardest thing to adjust to switching from travel ball to college?
I think the hardest thing between travel ball and college was like self-management. So like in travel ball, it's still very much like you have girls that are different ages. And so they kind of micromanage a lot of the stuff you do. Like, oh, well, we're just going to make a group meet. We're not going to communicate through your parents. It's like, okay, well, still I can communicate to my parents and they can help me. And oh, well, I can do this. And my parents are still staying with me in the hotels. And like, once you get into college, it's like, it's you and your teammates. And that's pretty much it. Like, my parents live across the country. I can't be like, mom, dad, I don't know how to cook myself a meal. Mom, dad, I don't know how, like, I can't get myself the ambition to want to go lift today. Like, oh, my mom told me I could skip my hitting lesson today. Like, there's none of that once you get into college. Like, it's all about kind of focusing on what you have to do and getting stuff done. And it's like, if you don't have that ambition to want to go do stuff for yourself, like, nobody's going to help you. Like, they're not going to like, come on, Taylor, you have to go do your run today. Come on, Taylor, you have to go hit today. Like, if you don't go do it, you're putting in as much of it as you want to. And however much you put into it, it's however much you put out of it, you get out of it. And it's like, if you're not going to go do it yourself, like, nobody's going to be like, you can do it. It's like, you kind of have to have that own, like, yeah, you have like the own, like, want to do things. Which it took a little bit of time for me to get used to because I was somebody that, like, I was a terrible morning person. I never wanted to get up in the morning. Like, school was always super easy for me. So it was like never really hard. College classes got a little bit harder and it kind of freaked me out a little bit. And then it was like, well, now I got to do my own laundry, get myself up in the morning, cook meals for myself when the dining hall is not open. Like, stuff like that, I think, is just like little things that you don't think about, especially when your parents help you with a lot of stuff. And that's what we keep on trying to reiterate to like the younger girls. It's like, don't let your parents make every decision for you. Don't let them do every single thing for you. Cause then you get into a big moment where you have to make a decision for yourself. And it's like, holy crap, I've never made this big of a decision for myself before. And then you can kind of get flustered. So I think just between school, like travel ball and college, is just like making sure that you're independent enough to where you can take care of yourself, but also still allow yourself to kind of ask the people around you for help, because it does get a little bit overwhelming.
Awesome. Does anybody else have a final question? If not, I have a final question based on meeting you in person for the first time. Anybody? We good? Okay. I'll have you share like where they can maybe follow you on social media too, to keep up with you, especially because you're a rock star in the game. And I always tell people like, go follow like your heroes, you know, like see what they're doing behind the scenes. Like you post on social media a lot of personal stuff, which I think is great, because I think social media is a little misconstrued and everybody's like, oh, highlight reel. And it's like, no, like we're going to post things that bring us joy. But when I met you in person, I was like, this is not who I expected. Like I expected like a hard nosed, like go get girl. And I'm just like, you are the loosest person like I think I've ever met. I'm like, okay, like I need to know, how are you so loose? Like, is this how you approach the game too? Like with that, like, I think it has to do with like, trust your preparation and just play free. Like you just seem like a free person. So like, where did that come from? And how can we adopt a little bit of just that? I don't care what anybody thinks. Like I'm myself.
Growing up, especially like when it came to like middle school time, like when I was about like 12 or 13 is when I started getting really serious about softball. And a lot of people didn't understand that. Like a lot of my friends that I had didn't get it. They were like, why are you spending so much time at softball? Like we want to go hang out. Why don't you just skip softball and come hang out with us? Like, why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? You're taking it too seriously. Like you're too big of a tryhard. And like it came to a point where it was like my softball friends were like my only real friends. Like I really had to like take the time and like appreciate those people. And so I feel like when it comes to softball, I am very serious. Like I do get to where it's like I get very, very competitive and I want to win all the time. But at the same time, it was like this last year, especially it was like, I'm a freshman. Like, these are things that I've never had to experience before. So it was like, how could I expect myself to be 1000% prepared when I've never done it before? Like, allowing myself to fail, because there are times where you're going to try something new and you've never done it before. And it's like, you can't expect yourself to be perfect at it, which is something I struggle with, because sometimes I don't like doing things that I don't know I'm going to be 100% good at, because I don't like to fail. But yeah, I mean, I just kind of learned over time that like, there are going to be people that don't get what I do. There are going to be people that make fun of the funny TikToks that I make and post on my social media. But it's like, at the end of the day, like I'm not going to be the person that only posts the good stuff. Like the other day I posted a TikTok about me falling on my face at the SEC tournament. That was probably like one of the most embarrassing things ever, but it was so funny. Like I was more stressed out about being at the SEC tournament than I was about being at the World Series. Like, it's just like the craziest stuff like that. Like, it's like, why am I so nervous to be here? Like, I've been playing softball my whole life. Like, why is this pitcher making me more nervous about playing the game of softball than I ever, like, we played our first fall game against Florida State. The pitcher threw the first pitch and I was like, why did I think she was going to throw me something I had never seen before? Like, these are girls that I played against in travel ball. Like, I've seen them before. It's like not a different world once you get to college. Like, obviously the girls are very, very talented, but like, as the pitchers get better, the hitters get better too. Like, there's always people that are stepping up their game further and further. It's like, what do I really have to be worried about? I've just kind of adopted the mindset of like, it's not that serious. Like, posting on Instagram, you should be able to post, be having fun with your friends. Like, obviously be smart. Don't post something dumb. But like, you should be able to post what you want and have fun and show who you are and be goofy and silly on TikTok and like get to do fun stuff. Cause like at the end of the day, are the three hate comments that I get on my TikTok really going to take away the fun that I had with my teammate making it? No. Is me making a mistake in the SEC tournament really going to take away all the great experience that I had my freshman year? No. Like, there's just certain things that just trump the bad. So it's like, do I really need to be so worried about this and that? It's like, no, because there's always something that's like, if I'm doing something, it's because it's going to make me happy. So it's like, is the feeling of somebody not understanding what I'm doing really going to trump the feeling of me being happy? And it's like, at the end of the day, it never is. So like, I really, like, there are certain people that I really do care about their opinions, but a lot of people I really don't, because there's always a reason behind what I do. And if there are people that don't understand it, there's no amount of arguing that's going to make them understand what I do.
Yeah. And for those of you who are going to be going through the recruiting process at some point in time, the coaches are going to look for all of your social media. So you might as well just be yourself, because it does make you marketable to own who you are and just be yourself.
Yeah.
And again, don't be stupid.
Well, and especially because when you go to a school, you want them to like your personality. You don't want to put off this facade of who you are. And then you get there and they're like, well, you're not at all like we thought you were. And then you're like, what do you mean? And it's like, well, you showed yourself as a serious person and we're a serious program, but you're not a serious person and you don't need to be serious. And it's like, okay, it's like they were expecting one thing and then you gave them another. And then all of a sudden you're at a program that doesn't match your personality.
Yeah. Yeah. And you tend to play your best too when you're able to know who you are. You know, mm-hmm. I said it before and you said it too. It's like, there is that element of like, you will find your stride when you're not worried about other people and mm-hmm. you can just lean on your friends, on your teammates, and just play the game that you've practiced your whole life to play. So mm-hmm. you definitely emulated that this past season, and it was so fun to watch. And we're so excited to keep following you this year. Where or what social media do you love most, and where can we all follow you after this call?
Hey, my Instagram and my TikTok are where I predominantly post. Most of my TikToks you'll see reposted on my Instagram, because there are certain people that just I know don't have TikTok, and I'm like, okay, you still deserve to see my wonderful dance moves. So I'll post them on both. Both my Instagram and TikTok are Tay with two Y's and then SHU for my last name. So I'm Tayshu on both Instagram and TikTok. I do have Twitter. I don't ever post on Twitter. I'm trying. It's just, it's so fun. It's like, there's a lot of haters on Twitter, and it's like, it's just boring. I don't like it. I like making videos and posting on Instagram and stuff. So those are the two that I use the most. But yeah, if you want to follow me, I definitely post a lot on my Instagram and I definitely post a lot on my TikTok. So.
Too fun. All right, Tay, thank you so much for taking away some study time from Sunday. This is such an upbeat and fun conversation. And good luck this year.
Thank you.
Thank you, Taylor.
Of course.
Thank you. Thank you.
Of course.
All right. I already know you love Taylor based on what she talked about in this episode. And if you want to get to know amazing, amazing people like Taylor in the game, whether they're coaching, playing, or they work on mental game, all of these things are inside of Virtual Hitting Academy. I love bringing on guests that are some of your idols, like literally your athletes' idols. So if you want to join Virtual Hitting Academy, go to ashleybtraining.com. You can learn how to meet amazing athletes like this, work with me and some of my guest coaches to work on hitting and mental game. It's just a fun community, and I want you to be a part of it, and you can be a part of it today. So check out all the things you need to know, ashleybtraining.com, if you're interested. And I can't wait. I can't wait to see who joins us. All right. You know the drill. Make sure that you stay awkward, stay humble, and keep smiling. And I will see you next week.